You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Let a birdie they get on their knees, they pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with a conversation with Dawn Karima, and my name is Dawn Karima, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Oh, so many of you have been so kind about my motivational speaking. You've invited me to your group. I've been able to go to some great charity events and some terrific churches and wonderful places and meet such wonderful people. I have been having so much fun motivating people all over. I love it. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. And a lot of you have recently messaged me, especially on Facebook and Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Dawn Karima. Follow me. It's a good thing to do. You'll have fun. You know me. Fun is guaranteed. And a lot of you have said, you know, I wish I could come. I wish I could hear you. I wish you could come to my group. And for those of you who have hired me and brought me in, thank you so much. But I hear your cries. And so right now, I'm going to motivate you. your wish is our command. I'm going to motivate you today and just give you something that you can be encouraged by today, because I think encouragement is a really powerful force, especially for those of us who are trying to do some great things with our lives. So I've been praying about what I would talk to some of you about today. And what's interesting is that I always get these Bible verses that are just, I've never heard anybody talk about these ever, but this is what came to me to share with you, and I hope you'll enjoy it. First of all, 1 Samuel 14, it says, "Now it came to pass upon a day." Now that'll preach right there, upon a day, because sometimes it's just a day. I mean, there are days with names like holidays and special days and days where you do this or that. But you know what? Sometimes it's just a day. It's just a day. And I want to encourage some of you right now who are frustrated. Your life just seems, this long-standing problem in your life just seems to be hanging on in there. It is not leaving. But it could, because it's a day. I'm thinking about, there's a man by the pool of Bethesda in the Gospels. And he had had this long-standing problem for 38 years. He had not been able to move. He had been waiting for his miracle. And then just one day, Jesus shows up and he gets healed. There was a woman with an issue of blood, and it said that she had had this for years and years, and she did not get better. In fact, she got worse, and physicians didn't know what to do, and she had spent all her money, and she had nothing else left, and it looked hopeless. But then on a day, Jesus passed by. So it came to pass upon a day. Thank God for a day, really. And have you ever noticed that when you get the most pressure to give up, you just think, okay, I can't go on, I can't do anymore. That's usually when your breakthrough is pretty close. I don't think I've ever had a miracle that announced itself. I don't think I've ever had a time when I knew this is the day that the great thing will happen. In fact, it's a lot of times when I don't want to go do that thing. I think about things I didn't want to do. I didn't feel like going. I didn't want to do it. But when I did, oh, I was so thankful. Thankful that I did it. So, it's a day. That Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, thank God for some help. Thank God that there are some people who will come alongside you and bear your armor. Now, I know I'm not wearing any armor that you could see, but thank God for the people who say, you know, I'll help you with that. the good teachers, the good mentors, the kind and helpful people that get on in there with you. In fact, that's my test of a true friend. Seriously. The people who call me and go, yeah, you can do it. You know, I believe in you. Whatever. It's the people who say, I'll help you. I'll get in there with you. I'll donate some money to what you're doing. I'll volunteer to help you. I have a team of people that just helps me. My parents are amazing. My brother is amazing. My family, my uncles, my cousins, my loved ones. But I also have some more people who help me. See, help is a powerful force. Two are better than one. You know, Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says two are better than one because together they have a good reward for their labor. For if one fall, well, woe, because he has nobody else to help him up. But if two are together, then they can help each other. You know, I'm thinking about Amos 3:3. It says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That's the power of two. I think if we realized how powerful it was when we have unity, behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell in unity. I think if we realized that, we would transform the whole world. We would do things that you just... Why? Because one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. You know, the prayer of agreement is one of the only prayers God promises to answer. Thinking about Matthew 18:19. It says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And it says that if you, two of you agree, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Do you know what life would look like if we believed that? We'd stop getting in strife with people over dirty dishes and he said, she said, and we'd find people, you'd get on the phone and start calling people, pray with me, agree with me about this. We'd be out in the parking lot agreeing. You wouldn't even risk getting in strife with your spouse because you might need to agree with them later. Think about all the miracles we'd see if people walked in unity. If we just decided, you know what, I don't care. I'm awesome. You're awesome too. Lay aside all the competition and the judgment and the backbiting and the tattling and the resentment and bitter. Just forgive people. We'd be quick to forgive. If we really believed in the power of agreement, we would be quick to forgive. Because we wouldn't want any chances that our prayers wouldn't get answered. So I'd just forgive you. You'd come in and you'd be like, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Let's get back to being in agreement. Why? Because agreement is a powerful force. It's a mighty spiritual force. Think about what we could change in the environment. Think about what we could change in terms of poverty and lack if we just got in agreement with somebody. Said, I'll help you. What are you doing? If it's positive and uplifting, if it helps our people, let's do it. Let's agree. So this is what happens when agreement takes place. So the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah. Okay. And so basically, Jonathan and his armor bearer are going to go do something in agreement. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. You know, okay. Sometimes you don't have to tell everything you know. Just leave that out there for you to think about. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Oh, no. You ever been in a rock in a hard place? I'm serious. Sharp rock A, sharp rock B. That's a very unforgiving set of circumstances. That's not a set of circumstances I like to be in. You know, sharp rock A and sharp rock B. Okay. And the rocks even have names. Now, you ever had a problem that had a name? I have. Seriously, you ever had a problem that was so big and bad that it had a name? People called it something. Wow. That's the kind of problem where you're going to need some help. Seriously, when you have a problem and its name is, I don't know, foreclosure or bankruptcy or addiction or substance abuse or poverty, lack, fear, depression, grief, sorrow. When you have a problem big enough to have a name, one of the get out of jail free cards that you can use to get through that situation is to get some help. Help is a good shortcut. Help will shorten your time that you spend between rock A and rock B. And I love how the Bible makes sure to let you know it was sharp rocks. This is not all in your head. You didn't just look at the rocks and go, wow, those rocks look sharp. No, they are. They are. It's as bad as you think it is. You ever have a problem that really is as bad as you think it is? I have. Where it's like, in fact, maybe worse than you thought. Like, you're like, oh, well, this isn't that bad. And they're like, oh, nope, it is. Mm-hmm. So for all the sharp rock problem solvers, the name of the one was Bozez and the name of the other, Senna. So it had a name. Rocks have names. Lord have mercy. Okay. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash and the other southward over against Gibeah. They had a location and a name. They had a location and a name. Okay. But. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Aren't you glad sometimes that the Creator will work for you? I am. One of the best days in my life was when I discovered in the Bible that God was for me. I had heard a lot of people tell me that God was not a fan of mine, that he was not for me. But he was, and he is. In fact, Psalm 56, verse 9, it says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. I'm glad I know that God is for me. And Jonathan knew it too, because he said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. See, a lot of times we look at sharp rock A and sharp rock B, problem A and problem B, and we immediately think, oh, I'm going to be destroyed. I feel doomed. And we kind of get that doomed feeling because we look at the problems instead of looking at the help. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I love what Jonathan says, because one of the things that hinders a lot of people from dealing with problems is because we look at ourselves. We look at our resources. We say, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have anybody to help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good at this. But Jonathan says, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. That's good news. Little as much if God is in it. And sometimes God will think you have too many people, like Gideon in the book of Judges. He actually said, this army is too big. If you take this bunch out here, you all will think you won this battle. So I'm reducing it down to 300 people. You ever have God take you just down to just you? Not enough. Scarcity. A miracle often looks like a lack. A miracle often looks like a lack of something. Not enough food. So we've got to get 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We've got situations where we don't have enough of what it is that we need. And that's the perfect time for God to step in and do a miracle. And it says here, his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Don't you love those people who say, just go ahead on and do it. Just go ahead on and do it. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. That's agreement. That's unity. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus to us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up unto them. Well, okay. Sounds good. I love the fact that Jonathan knows something that a lot of us need to know. There's a time to go, and then there's a time to not go. And he says that if this happens, then we'll stand still. And sometimes standing still is a really great spiritual action. It doesn't look like it, but it is. Stand still and see the salvation of our God. That's what Moses said. And then God said, go on, you'll be all right. In the Chronicles, Jehoshaphat, you will not need to fight in this battle. Well, they didn't. They stood still and the enemy was self-slaughtered. I'm glad for the still small voice. I'm glad for the times that God has made me stand still. So that I didn't get hurt. I didn't keep on going into a mess. I didn't keep on progressing. You know, sometimes you can have so many obstacles that you think you're supposed to push and persist past them. But really, that might be a sign to just stand still and see what is supposed to happen next. But, if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. I love that fact that Jonathan says hath delivered. Really? They haven't even fought yet. A lot of us are waiting to compliment our miracle and be praising and thanking for our miracles until we see them, until they happen. And Jonathan's saying, it's already a done deal. If we go in there, it's good. We're good. It's it. God has already given us the victory. We have to transform our thinking into seeing ourselves as victorious people. We are victorious right now. We were victorious before the battle even started. We were victorious before we even heard about Sharp Rock A and Sharp Rock B. We're victorious right now. I love that because there's so many times in my life when I'm praying for a miracle and I realize that it's right there in front of me. And so I pray every day, God, please don't let me miss my miracle. Please don't let me miss my miracle because I don't like the method either. And it says right here, oh, I love this. This is great. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. Hey, you know what? Sometimes it's a compliment to be underestimated. The enemy says that these people are hiding in holes. That means they don't even think of them as powerful warriors. And they're going to estimate the Israelites one more time because Goliath, when he fights against David, says, am I a dog that you come out here to me with some sticks? And yet David takes off his head and runs with it. So sometimes when you're being underestimated, that's for your protection. You don't have to tell everything you know. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer slew after him. In other words, Jonathan cut him down. The armor bearer finished him off. I love warriors. I do. That's awesome. In other words, they had a system going. Two are better than one. I'll take them out. You finish them off. And it says here that and that first slaughter, pay attention to the word first. Anytime the first things are always important. The first thing is always a sign of something. It says the first slaughter. What does that mean? That means some more were coming. So victory A and victory B and victory A and victory B. The first slaughter. I think about so many things. I did them for the first time and they were the best I could do at that time. And now I do them all the time and they're bigger and better than ever. But that first thing sets the tone for how everything else will go. And that first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Wow. 20 men. Two guys who weren't even planning to have a battle that day. Two guys who had Sharp Rock A on one side and Sharp Rock B on the other side. Two men who the enemy laughed at and made fun of and underestimated. And you know what happened before it was all over? It says that everybody got in the battle that day. Saul and his men and his people. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. If you're few today, remember, by many or by few, you already have victory. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate in the AM. Get your lucky numbers at 9:11 a.m. Monday through Friday at the new time, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Stay right there. More of a conversation with Dawn Karima up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving? So, slowly.
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
From the mouth, we keep well, his goodness. The love we breathe is the fullness. The cup we drink is forgiveness. The tongue we speak.
They do right, they do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When you turn right, but you turn all the way.
I'm Honey Dawn Karima, and now more of a conversation with Dawn Karima. TalkTainmentRadio.com, that's our address worldwide and locally. We're here 24/7 around the world, radio the way it should be heard. Oh, we're so excited that you're here. We're so excited that we have this wonderful opportunity to talk with you today. And I am happy to have in the studio a very special guest who will introduce himself to you right now.
I'm Judge Grady Pettigrew, and I actually host a show here on Talktainment Radio called Key Facts with Grady Pettigrew, Law and Business for Everyday Living.
Well, I'm thrilled you're here. Thank you for being here, sharing some of your wisdom with us.
Well, thank you. You know, in just the few minutes that you preceded this, the first word that came to mind was the real word of opportunity. Now, you led in as a motivational speech that you are actually going to provide not just an example, but a motivational speech. And I understand that you do those both in the sacred, the church setting, and the non-church setting.
Right.
But also that you are involved with spiritual life strategies, singing in both settings, and also work with not just the seniors or mature, but also young people. What is it that's your basis for motivating people as well as attempting to provide them with spiritual life strategies?
Well, I would say, first of all, motivation, the purpose of motivation is to take action. I think many people have dreams and plans and desires in their hearts, and those are good desires. The things you want to do that are creative and artistic and uplifting and helpful to people, they're put there divinely. The Creator puts them in us. And sometimes we just need somebody to help draw them out. Motivational speaking is just to fire you up a little bit, just to get you back and energized and encouraged, because this life can take so much out of you. You have your dreams, you have your desires, but then you also have daily life. Remember Rock A and Rock B. You know, you have problems that sometimes have a name, and they are a threat to getting what you need to do done. Motivational speaking helps you. First of all, it helps you to rise above the mundane problems of daily life and start thinking about the greatness that's in you and how you can use it. It just reminds you that there's greatness in you. The second thing motivational speaking does that I think is really powerful, and I speak to all kinds of groups, organizations, events, churches, non-religious organizations mostly, actually, youth groups, all kinds of places.
And I find that the need is the same. People need to know that they matter. And motivational speaking reminds you that your life has a purpose. When I was growing up, my mother always said to me, you have a destiny. And I even think of myself, sometimes I sign things as honey girl, girl of destiny. And I think that when you know you have a destiny, when someone speaks to that destiny, it wakes it up within you because people recognize truth when they hear it.
Well, one of the things that I imagine is necessary for groups is to simply focus not on their mission, not only their mission, but their vision, but also their energy. How do you address that when you go to speak to these groups?
Well, I think, first of all, we're all a lot more alike than we are different. People have a need to be loved, and they have a need to love others. And that's what I primarily speak about, the things that love will do in your life. And I'm not talking about, I love my sweater, I love my boyfriend, I love this movie, I love my cat. I'm talking about a transforming power. And it's not specified to any religion, any ethnic group. Everybody's got it. It's love. And if you'll walk in it and you'll put it to good use, I always say love is my superpower. Because love never fails. And if you'll apply love, real love, I'm not talking about, you know, the feeling of Valentine's Day and hearts and flowers. I'm talking about if you'll apply real love to any situation, you will see results. And so that's what I'm called to do. Whether it's singing, whether it's speaking, whether it's working, doing life coaching, I am called to help people access the love that they have and use it as a power to fuel the dreams that they have.
Well, where do you speak in terms of not just the kind of group, but are you willing to travel across the country?
I am always traveling. I have had the blessing of speaking all over the country and internationally as well. And so when groups want to bring me in, I am so happy to go. I love meeting new people. I love encouraging people. I love the testimonies. They encourage me. When I meet people, I speak to a lot of conferences predominantly. And when I speak at conferences and events, there may be hundreds of people in the room, and they all have stories that are worth telling and worth knowing. And so it's very energizing, and that's why I do enjoy traveling.
Well, I know that you used the term spiritual life strategies. I'm familiar with the term life coaching. What's the difference between those two, or is there a difference?
That's a really good question. I think, first of all, life coaching basically is helping people to take action steps that will help them move towards specific goals and dreams. Spiritual life strategist, we're looking at the inside. Your outside is actually a symptom of your inside. And so we want you to look at your spiritual health and look at the inside. Think about what you're thinking about. Work on you. Because when you are in a good place, when you are thinking wisely, you make good decisions. When you are at peace, good things come to you. When you're walking in love, you'll be surprised at what you attract into your life. And so a lot of times people focus on a goal. I want to do this. I want to get that. I want this. I want that. And that's great. I'm all for goals. I certainly have focused on some great goals in my life. But sometimes if you only focus on the goal, then you miss a lot of the process, the transforming power to make your life better, to make you a better person. Because what happens, we find, is when we work on our spirits, you know, seek ye first, right? When we work on our spirits, you'll see so many other things fall into place. And this is not just for any one particular belief system or religious group or ethnic group. I mean, I work with everybody. So this is life coaching, but it's not, you know, like a sports coach is trying to get you to a goal, more home runs, enough baskets, a Super Bowl championship. We're trying to get you to be internally peaceful. We're trying to get you to be more loving and more kind. And really, we're looking at making you a happier person, no matter what's going on around you. And we find that when we do that, when people get happy and peaceful within themselves, then they just start attracting all the good things they really want. You know, roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water while preparing food. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov, brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Well, you know, one of the things that groups select is role models when they bring people in. You just mentioned a moment ago that you speak to young people.
Most of them.
Do you serve as a role model when you go? Do you serve as another option versus some of the things that are out available in the community?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one. You know, I never saw myself as a role model, but I do see myself as somebody who loves you. And I think that that is a very powerful thing, especially when we start talking about young people. I think the young people I serve, they know that I'm interested in their future. I want them to have a better life. I don't need to come all the way there. I was someplace doing something great. I came all the way here to speak to you, young person, because I love you. And I want you to have a better life than maybe you've seen around you. I think in this life you can make mistakes or you can listen to your mentors. And if you listen to wisdom, you will save yourself heartbreak. I promise you, you will. You can try it. You can touch the stove and get burnt and find out it's hot, or I can tell you it's hot and you can avoid all the pain that goes with it. And so when I speak to young people, one of the first things I say to them is, I love you. I don't know if anybody else loves you or cares about you. Maybe a lot of people have written you off or said you're not going to ever be nothing. But I am saying to you, I believe in you. The fact that I came here instead of doing something else is because I believe in you. And so I think when we show people what love looks like, real love, they want it. They want it. You don't have to twist people's arms a lot of time. When you say, you know, when you follow these principles, you will have the life that you want. I don't know exactly the details, but I know that it will be closer to what you desire than what you've got right now. And so that's what I try to convey to young people, that I genuinely care about you. I want you to live well. I want you to be happy. I want you to not make the mistakes many older people made. I want to save you heartbreak and pain. And if you'll listen to me, I'll do my best to tell you things and show you things that will help you to live better.
Well, you know, that's almost like an ambitious goal.
Yeah.
But obviously, we have individuals and organizations all over the country that want people to live better.
Yes.
They want to increase the success quotient. They want to increase the focus and positive energy around themselves and their organizations. What is it that keeps you motivated to continue to do that work, even though we know that you can't be everywhere, you can't do everything for everybody? But you do what you can. What keeps you motivated?
Well, first of all, I'm very blessed in that I have a legitimate platform to do it. I mean, I can't be everywhere, but I can be a lot of where simply by being on the radio and television. I do a series for the Law of Attraction Networks.com, and of course this wonderful show, and then my music. That brings me a wider reach. An influencer is what they call me in this business, I think. And I think that's a very important role because we all are. And so what keeps me motivated is that I love people. I want people to be happy. I want me to be happy. And so what I find out is that when I am helping other people and serving other people, when I do this show, this is like the happiest time of my week. When I'm speaking in front of a group, I am so happy inside. And I believe it's because I'm called to do this. And so when I obey and walk in my calling, I'm happy. When I don't, not so much.
Well, in the when you look at the scheme of things, one of the things that I know is that you speak to people from all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Educated, not educated,
right.
Rural, urban, Christian, non-Christian, many traditional people. I mean, how do you really identify that, and I'm going to call it cross appeal, that may not be the right word, but how do you identify the fact that you're accepted by all of those different groups?
That is a good question. I would say, first of all, that, I would say that, first of all, it's a blessing to be accepted by all those groups. I mean, it's wonderful that in one weekend I get to speak in a church, at a conference, and at a powwow. You know, it's like, it's a wonderful blessing to that people want to hear me. And I'm so thankful for it. And, you know, I'm really grateful for it. But I would say that one thing that I have noticed is that people, they may not know what love looks like exactly, but when they meet somebody that does, they recognize it. And so a lot of the audiences I find, they just hear it. They understand that I'm coming there with a good heart, that I love them, that I'm there to do them good and never, ever, ever harm, that I want them to be happy. And sometimes people, there are many, many people who do not have anybody that is on their side. They really don't. I mean, I spoke at a Job Corps not too long ago, and I went to speak at a jail one time. And there are people who have nobody to encourage them. And I want to say, if that's you right now, it's okay, because sometimes you have to encourage yourself. I'm thinking about King David in the Bible. All his men were talking about stoning him, killing him, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes you just have to go ahead on and say, I'm going to make it. Nobody believes I will, but I will. And I think one of the things that happens is when I come in, I'm happy to be there. I'm glad I was invited. I love the people. I care about them being happy. I want to be happy too. And I think sometimes people see that sincerity. I'm not telling you anything, you know, I don't have a slick package that I'm bringing in there to sell you. I'm saying I'm doing this too because I want to be happy. And walking in love will make you happy. Love never fails. Love is my superpower. Love is my first language. And if you'll walk in love, I'm walking in love. I'm not asking you to do anything I wouldn't do myself. But when you walk in love, what you will find very quickly is that love will come toward you.
Well, and I guess that's one of those commodities that isn't in short supply. Culturally, we hear about everything that we're running out of, natural resources. But really, love is not in short supply.
Yeah, love is a renewable resource, right? The more you give it, the more you get. Give love, gather love. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, in the whole world, not just in our country, but in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Isn't that really a major part of the formula that we need to reinforce, to resupply, to pursue, and to, in many cases, just simply claim more love?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, one of the reasons I really encourage folks to work with me as a spiritual life strategist, life coach, I encourage people to work with me because I give you techniques and ideas that help you renew the love. See, love is a renewable resource, and it doesn't have an expiration date. And so when you work with someone, you can find me on Twitter at Dawn Karima, if you would like to do that. But when you work with someone who knows what love looks like, they can teach you, I can teach you, ways to have more love in your life, increase the love that you're giving and receiving in all areas of your life. And then, you know what happens? Your life is a better, better place. Talktainmentradio.com. That is our address worldwide and locally. We're here 24/7 around the world. This is radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. Up next, more of a conversation with Dawn Karima on Talktainment.com.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Tom Gilmore lives on a farm. There's a storm on the way, so he's boarding up the windows of his house.
Haley Williams lives in an apartment. It's a beautiful day. She's making her usual monthly donation to the American Red Cross.
Tom doesn't know a tornado will leave his family with no place to go.
Haley doesn't know her gift will help give Tom's family shelter.
When you support the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your area.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
We've got the power.
From the mouth, we eat is goodness. The love we breathe is fulfillment. The cup we drink is forgiveness. The tongue we speak.
They do right, they do good, and it's so hard to do right. When you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way, lady.
I'm Honey Dawn Karima, and now more of A Conversation with Dawn Karima.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Dawn Karima, and you're listening to A Conversation with Dawn Karima, and I'm so glad you are. We have a special guest with us in the studio and helping me to encourage and motivate you today. Would you reintroduce yourself, please?
Yes, I'm Judge Grady Pettigrew. I host a program called Key Facts, Law and Business for Everyday Living. And the focus of that is really attempting to help people deal with legal as well as business burdens that, or barriers that they face each and every day.
And we can find that great show right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. You're going to want to learn a lot about law and business in everyday life just by tuning in.
But you know, we're at a stage in this program where I know that one of the questions is, what does it take to bring you in or to make you available for motivational speeches, for coaching, for the other activities that you do?
Okay. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Dawn Karima. That's D-A-W-N, just like when the sun comes up. K-A-R-I-M as in Mary, A. At Dawn Karima on Twitter. And you can also email me as well. And, you know, one of the great things, I've had the blessing of so many organizations that have hired me to speak for them. And so I'm very flexible. Lots of different kinds of organizations, lots of places, lots of different events, conferences, you know. And so all it takes, you just bring me in and we will, you know, have a great event.
And then are you taking new clients?
I am. I have had some clients recently that succeeded in their goals. And so I have some space by phone, by Skype. Some email coaching is available. Also some resources, webinars. But I am taking new clients by phone, by Skype. Contact me once again at honeydawnkarima@gmail.com or on Twitter at Dawn Karima. And it's a very reasonable price when you think of investing in yourself. You know, we invest in the stock market. We invest in our cars. We invest, we buy clothes. We buy this. We invest in a home. We invest. And yet, you know, for a very reasonable rate, you can invest in your own happiness. And really, you know, what's more important than that?
Well, you know, one of the things that is always attendant to a new relationship, business or otherwise, and that is, what do people expect, or what should they expect if they engage you or if you start working with them?
All right. Well, if you hire me, the first thing is that you can expect drama free. Yeah. And one of the reasons, you know, I'm a drama free person, and so you can expect all that goes with that. I work with solution focused techniques. That means we do not pay attention to drama. You will not get to call me up and whine about your problems, because we don't focus on the problems. We focus on the solutions. Meaning, instead of saying, I have a terrible job and I hate it, and then complaining to me for half an hour about how bad your job is, no, you will simply say to me, I would like to have a different job. I'd like to have a different career in such and such a field. And then we start working on positive steps and solutions that might bring you to the point where you could have a brilliant career. And so we're always solution focused. You can expect that. So I'm not going to ask you, how are you? How are you feeling? And then you tell me all your problems. No, I'm going to ask you, what do you think is your destiny? And we'll try to get you there, or close to it, or closer to it than you are right now.
Well, I know one of the things that you bring is you've lived in urban areas. You've lived on the Native reservation for a number of years in Cherokee. You've traveled north, south, across the border, at least into Canada and
Europe, Caribbean, the Pacific. Yeah,
well, that's true.
Yeah,
okay.
No,
so you've been a lot
everywhere.
Of places, and I guess you even know what it looks like for real in Montana, Wyoming, and North Dakota, places like that. What is it? What does that travel and exposure, the cross-cultural exposure, the fact that you know that when somebody says, I live in an isolated place in North Dakota, mm-hmm. that it really is an isolated place in North Dakota?
Well, I would say mainly that all that travel extensively was mainly for speaking, for singing, for performing, and for helping other people. And so what I found out is that no matter where you are, I mean, wherever you are, people have the same set of problems. They want to be loved. They want somebody to love. They want to have the fulfillment of the dreams and visions that are in their hearts. They want to use their gifts and talents. And so I think that is the best thing it has brought to me. All this travel has shown me that we're all more alike than we are different. And so when I hear you, your problem doesn't scare me. You can say to me, I don't feel like I have any job opportunities because I live here. And I'm going to tell you, well, let's create your own business. You know, let's make some opportunities online or something. I'm not going to scare easy. There are some pretty challenging problems. I recently worked with a client who had recently been, you know, in some very, very big trouble in his life. And yet I was able to coach him to the point where he enrolled in tribal college and is getting back on his feet. And so I'm not an addiction specialist. I won't work with you on addiction or anything like that. I won't work with you on anything medical. You know, it's really mental illness, I'm not the person for you. But if you are a person who you basically just want to be more happy, that's happier in your life. You really want to take the next step in your life. You have a job, but you like to get a promotion. You're a pretty normal person, but you think you might like to find somebody to spend your life with. We're only talking about thinking of me as, let me upgrade you.
I'm ready for an upgrade.
That's right. I'm your upgrade. So you're okay. You're all right. Now, if you have big problems, I'm not for you. But if you're just pretty much, you're okay, but you just would like to be better, stronger, faster, more loving, more happy, more filled with joy, you'd like to fulfill your destiny and your dreams, then at Dawn Karima on Twitter.
Well, actually, one of the things that you do is simply to encourage people.
Yes.
To get off the couch.
Yes, get off the couch.
The step. You've also used the word invest in themselves.
Yes, yes. Please invest in yourself. I want to take a minute and say something to all of you that are looking right now at how you can invest in yourself, how you can do something great. You know, one of the things is that you are valuable. You are precious. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You matter to people. Maybe all your life people told you you didn't matter. You were a mistake. You were an accident. Nope, no such thing. You are filled with gifts and talents. The reason that you're here on this planet is because you are the answer to somebody's prayers. You are the solution to somebody's problems. Don't be the problem. be the solution to the problem. Right now,